and I am the Global University Director for the Center for Sacred Studies, and I really appreciate each and every one of you taking your time out of your busy lives tonight to come on the call and see what this awesome teleseminar is all about. And before I introduce our guest speaker tonight, Wei Matea, I'd like to invite everybody to take a nice deep breath in. Just allow your heart to open and your mind to clear as we move forward and finding out what this teleseminar is about. So I want to take a moment here and introduce Wei Matea. And Wei Matea, I've known Wei Matea for several years now, and she is an amazing mother. She's a mother of two beautiful daughters. And Wei Matea is also a the lead singer in a reggae band called Soulja Fire, which has an album or two or three, I'm not exactly sure, but she brings joy and a good message through her voice as part of her medicine. And Wei Matea is also a ordained minister through the Center for Sacred Studies, and through that process she got a vision and created this wonderful center in Canada for women called Wei Matea Center for Wellness. And so tonight Wei Matea is going to talk about this seminar that she visioned and manifested to support people in holding sacred circles. So with that, I would just like to say welcome, Wei Matea, and thank you so much. And I'm really excited to hear what you have to share tonight.
Thank you, Wendy. You fill my heart. I'm just feeling shivers of gratitude. I've been thinking about how long we have known each other and just how much of an honor it is to have you introducing me on this call. And so thank you. I really appreciate your beautiful words.
You're welcome.
And thanks. And I'm feeling this beautiful rippling energy from the call presence. So everyone who's on the call and everyone who will be listening to this call, I just want to say hello, and it's exciting to meet you. And there's so many brothers and sisters around the world getting ready to heed this call. And this particular medicine of holding circle is one that's really dear to my heart. And I just really want to lift up that you've taken time out of your busy schedule, as Wendy said, and gotten onto the call or listening to the recording, and just really thanking you from the bottom of my heart for the honor of listening to this call. So, and I just want to also lift up the Wisdom Bridge as being a really rich and fertile place for all of us to grow our medicine and expand inside of what we know our gifts to be or what we're discovering our gifts to be. And I'm just grateful for being on the teleseminar series with Wisdom Bridge. So, well, I think I could use one more deep breath. If everyone could just join me in just inviting the breath into the body, into your body a little bit deeper, and softening your belly and just allowing the medicine of the breath to come deeply in. And if you are anything like me, you might be listening to this call while you're doing the dishes or feeding your kids. So even if you're doing that or driving in your car, just take a moment right now for your own self-care and your own breath to enter your body in a good way. So I guess what I picture this call going like is that I'll share as much as I can about the teleseminar series, Ancient Sacred Formation. And so that'll be a description of where I'm coming from with it and a little bit about my story, and some testimonials around work that I've done to help people to form their own confidence around a holding circle. And then at the end of that, we will have an opportunity for questions at any time during the call. If you do have a burning question, I believe you press star 1, but I am not entirely sure. I'll wait for the message on what those buttons are, and then I'll let you know. But so if you could just come all the way into this moment with me right now. If you can, find a comfortable place to sit or lay down. Oh yeah, it is press 1 if you do have a burning question. So, and so just being here, being engaged with me, being engaged with each other in our virtual circle that we have just by virtue of being on this call together, I just would like to hold it in that same sacred way where we acknowledge everyone's individual journey and perspective and story and who you are as a unique being coming into this circle together today on this call. So I want to talk a little bit about why this matters. Why does this teleseminar matter? Why does knowing how to hold a circle matter? What is learning how to be practical about putting together a circle and getting clear about your offering and learning how to avoid conflict or what to do with it? What does all this have as a value? Why is this mattering in our lives as healers or as teachers? And you know, after all, a lot of you have probably participated in circles, in bigger communities. You might have a larger circle. Sometimes we have this kind of a call circle that you belong to maybe once a month or once a week. So, you know, many of us are coming from a place of not being completely foreign to the idea of circle, but just haven't really quite found our way to hosting or leading our own. And so what happens, I feel, from my own perspective and what I've seen in the people that I work with who are craving to hold circle in their community, is that they know what the magic is of it, they know what the medicine is of circle, but somehow they're just not able to turn their offering into something like a circle and being able to have confidence to bring that offering into their community. And so why this course matters is because there might be something holding you back. And for sure there's something holding you back. And it might be little, or it might be something a little bit, you have to dig a little bit more for the discovery of why. But there's something holding you back from putting together your own circle. And so you can't quite put your finger on it. And for some reason you're just not doing it. And inside of you there's a calling, like a yearning or a craving from inside your belly, inside the belly of your spirit and your soul. You just, there's something that you want to give, and yet you can't quite cross that bridge and go, I'm doing it now. So this course is that bridge going from, I really, really want to do this. I know it seems like a huge deal. I don't know how to put it together. Or, you know, I tried and it fell apart, or something happened and it wasn't good, to point B where you're like, now I have a circle. Now I know what I'm offering. Now I'm really clear. Now it's really healthy. And so I really want to just say the reason why this course matters is because it is that hand-holding that helps you step by step through the practical ways of how to manifest your dream. So when I finished the ministry program with the Center for Sacred Studies, I was just totally spoiled because the integrity and the amazing container that I experienced with that ministry program and with the CSS set the bar pretty high for me. And so when it came to time for me to consider what I could offer in that way, I had doubts, like a lot of doubts. And so some of them you might recognize as your own. We have the very common one, probably the most common one, which is, I'm not qualified to hold space in a sacred way. Don't you have to be initiated or go through some kind of special training? I haven't gone through that training, therefore I am not qualified. And really tagging on to that doubt is, everybody will know I'm not qualified. I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't know what I'm doing, and I'm afraid of pretending to know what I'm doing and then everybody figuring out that I actually have no idea what I'm doing. And I mean, these are serious concerns because we're coming from a community of really people that have committed to living in an authentic way, in a real, honest, transparent way. And so it's a real concern that I'm going to be doing something and maybe I'm pretending to, it's like being a doctor and not being a doctor, but you've heard of those fraudulent doctors who years later have treated many people and they're really not a doctor. Well, that's sort of that same feeling of like, isn't there some kind of qualification? And so we address that doubt in this program. And And another scary feeling or thought is that we might know someone who has been hurt in a container like Circle, or who has been emotionally wounded or even traumatized in a circle. And a lot of us are afraid that they wouldn't want to do that to somebody, or they would be afraid that they would accidentally do that to somebody, or wouldn't know what to do if that happened to somebody. And this big one here I just really want to share for myself was a really big one, was that I was feeling really challenged in my own personal life when I started a circle. And that's a huge doubt, because you're like, wait, I've got all this going on, and so who am I to lead anyone into like contemplative meditation or self, you know, introspection when I am barely, you know, making it? And so there's a lot of that inner critic inside of us that says, you aren't good enough, you haven't figured it out enough, you haven't done enough work, you haven't gone to enough courses, you can't do this. And so really acknowledging that each and every one of us has that voice that comes up inside, and so stepping out of that place where you are influenced so much that you're paralyzed by that inner critic into a place where you feel like, even though you are challenged in your life by this issue or that issue, you still have a gift to offer into your community, and you're still a worthy being whose unique perspective is a gift to everyone else. And so that's another piece that that could be a doubt that you have before going in. So there are all those nagging feelings that, you know, we don't want to be fake, we don't want to be inauthentic, we don't want to be underqualified, we don't want to feel inadequate. As a teacher, I have been given, I used to teach elementary, junior high, and high school. And I remember being given an assignment where I had to teach French. And I had only taken French in my junior high days, and lucky if I even got to school in junior high, so knew so little French. But the principal was like, oh yeah, you can do it. And it was really an awful feeling to be going into a classroom full of 14-year-olds and trying to pull off that I knew what I was teaching them. So that's a terrible feeling, to be like offering something of value but feeling completely unqualified to. So this course gives you all the tools, all the qualifications, using that word just in this context, to hold a circle with confidence. And the last piece that I really want to say about why it matters. Ancient sacred formation matters because it will walk you step by step and open you into the possibility that you are a worthy, capable, and qualified individual of gift into your community that you can offer a sacred circle. And this will be done in a practical, easy, like easily to implement way, where you can just have, okay, step one, I'm going to do this. I got to get clear about that. Oh, now I got to go do this. And how do I do that? Oh, I'm going to check this list, and I'm going to provide you with all of the steps that get to the core of what you would like to offer and exactly how you're going to offer it. So just take another deep breath here. If you can, just breathe all of that in. And I just want to invite you to the possibility that you have a magic wand. I've given each one of you a gorgeous magic wand, and suddenly you get to get completely unstuck around holding and leading a circle in your community. I just want you to imagine what you would create. Just take a moment. Let your mind drift. Maybe it's a group for single moms or a Reiki share. Maybe you want to hold ritual or ceremony. Maybe you have land you'd like to offer. Just imagine people on your land. Imagine you being in the facilitating role. Perhaps you have friends that are asking you to help lead them into a more spiritual practice. They see you doing what you're doing, and they're like, I want to know how to do that. You show us. Imagine that you are in your living room with your friends. Or maybe you have a vision of offering a sacred prayer circle to people who are healing, or even people in palliative care and in the hospital. This program, this ancient sacred formation program, was created to help you step into this visual of yourself so that you can finally bloom where you're planted and you can plant the seeds of this ancient way of gathering in your own community. And I love that metaphor of planting the seeds and growing our medicine in everywhere we are, in our own indigenous area, wherever you are. What grows where you live? There's going to be something different that grows where I live than what grows where Wendy lives, because I live in close to Edmonton, Alberta, Canada. So we have very different vegetation, very different medicine that comes out of the earth than what would be growing in California. And so just really knowing that this is a truly unique discovery that you're going to know by digging a little deeper into the soil, what grows where you are. What circle will develop from where you are? What medicine will you cultivate in your community? Okay. So I'm going to share a little bit about my story. And if you want to know my whole story, you can always read about it. I have a website, just waymatea.com. So that I won't go into my whole long story, but I really want to talk about my story of how I came to be holding circle. As I said, I used to be a teacher. I spent that magic number, 13 years, in the public school system. And then I've had a band also for 13 and a half years as of right now. And I've been the leader and creator of that. And now in my ministry practice, I've been holding, I've been doing body work and energy work for probably about 7 years, and been holding a weekly circle in my town. I'm going into my third year of doing that. So when I graduated in 2013, that number just shows up all over my life, I graduated from the ministry program with the Center for Sacred Studies, and I had this vision of opening up this wellness center that would serve my community in the same way that I saw was that others were serving their community. I was so inspired because in that program I met so many people from all around the world who were doing things that I was like, wow, I can't believe you, can you do that? Like, it was just mind-opening to me. And especially in the gathering in Montana in 2014, I believe, when I saw this healing happen right in front of my eyes in the bridging of communities and hearts, where it felt like there was no bridging available. It happened right in front of our eyes. And I just was so fired up and ready to take that into my community. In the little town I live just outside of Edmonton, where I live, we are the capital in Western Canada for domestic violence per capita. And it's a conservative town. Lots of farming, lots of oil people, lots of real traditional church-going people, and there's a very big problem here of domestic violence, and then it spills down into the children because there's a high rate of teen pregnancy and drug use and drug gangs and everything right in this tiny little place that I live. And so I had this vision that I was going to bring this medicine all the way back here and just share it around and show people that, you know, there's a way to connect with spirit that would just heal you from the inside out. And so I was really fired up. And after I started the center, I had a lot of one-on-one clients. I was doing a lot of work with just one-on-one mentoring and healing. And then what I noticed was that it was a common theme, and it became mostly women. So I've shifted my focus to just mainly women and teenagers. The women that were coming through my doors kept saying, I really, you know, I wish that there was some way that we could share this. Like, you know, what you're doing is so important. There are other people that would like to know this. And I was like, you're right, let's find them and bring them in. And I was thinking one-on-one work, but then it just dawned on me that I could hold a circle in this conservative town. I'm a visible minority in a conservative town in a place where there aren't a whole lot of black people. And I have dreadlocks down to my legs, and our family stands out as it is, so why not have a weekly wisdom circle? You know. And so I was super just going out on a limb there.
courageous badass.
So, I figured, hey, we're going to stand out anyway. Why not go for it all the way? And, of course, you know, there is a whole lot of resistance from, there's a lot of that foundational resistance, but the women, they feel so kind of bad too. Like you just said, that badass, like they feel badass when they come to my wisdom circle because they're coming from their prayer group and coming into the wisdom circle and practicing earth-based sacred ceremony and you know, meditative contemplation and exercising a muscle that is craving to be exercised. So it's just amazing. It's almost like the drought of spirituality and they're just drinking it in. And so, I put that in because it seems like a lot of times you'd be fearful to put it into a community where it wouldn't be welcomed, but actually there's probably a deep, deep need for it. The women started coming. I started it in September 2013, and we've been going strong. Actually, the first set got so populated that I opened up a second weekly circle, so I was having one on, I think, Mondays and one on Thursdays. And the more women that I worked with, the more that came in, the more I saw that this is actually a thing that could be spread out like into their communities rather than needing it to be held in just one center. It could be the training and the learning and the respect of the circle could be implemented in all these different communities. And so that's what's happened, is that a lot of the women are like, show me how you do this. I really want to know how to do it in a good way. And so I share this all. The success of it is to share that I found a way to make it a sustainable practice, that it doesn't burn itself out, that you don't just have the same people coming and it sort of becomes more of a coffee visit rather than a healing circle. So how to keep it moving and how to keep the energy moving. And also my background as the leader of our band and us having pretty cool success in our country, I know a lot about the marketing piece and how to really get to the message to the people that you really want to hear it or who are asking for it. And so that has really helped me to keep this circle growing. And I mean, this next set on the, I'm not kidding you, on the 13th of September is my next, beginning of my next session. I have 28 people coming on the first night. I've never had that many people, that many women coming, and they're coming from an hour away. So it's something that is really needed, and I guarantee you that it's needed where you live. So that's a little bit about my story and how I've come to be here offering this ancient sacred formation teleseminar to you. And I think the last piece that I'll talk about before I go into what we're going to be doing week to week, and I think this part is pretty important because we all have a unique perspective and our own point of view. And so I want to share with you my point of view on circles and why I think it's really important that we learn how to keep them really in a good way, in a safe way, in a way that respects protocols that you will create perhaps, but just really having a firm and strong idea about what it is so that you know as soon as you're sort of going sideways with it, you'll know this isn't what I was wanting and maybe that's leading me to a place that I don't want my circle to go. So just my point of view on circle, it's again this metaphor like planting a beautiful seed in this beautiful soil. And in my vision, I see our world transformed with circles, one at a time. And my neighbor right now is watching my daughter right before she goes to her prayer group, which I think is a circle. So, you know, I can just see them, that old way of gathering around together is really coming up, especially as feminine continues to open the hearts of everyone who's ready for that. We're going to see more and more of these gatherings. And I really do want to see the medicine all over the world, the shrubs that will grow in Australia and the trees that will grow in Hawaii and the bushes that will grow in South Dakota. I really want to see the medicine growing in a good way all around the world. And so it just occurred to me that we don't want any GMOs in our medicine. So we really want to find a common ground around how to spread this medicine with love and compassion into the homes and hearts of people all over the world. And this is our time. This is our time. We're stepping into this offering. We're stepping into offering our gifts with courage and with bravery and with confidence into our community, because our earth is calling for us to do this, to bring in a healing light and to bring in the medicine of that way that we've always gathered and spread wisdom and love and compassion and community. And so it's been my observation that there are some offerings where Circle maybe at the beginning was, the intention was good, but the safety isn't vigilantly looked after. And oftentimes we find people looking for power or, you know, rank over others in that they're offering something that you sort of have to be qualified to be there, or in not a good way, in a way of like that feels uncomfortable. It feels out of alignment with this higher good that we're all looking for, this equanimity that we're always looking for. And so when we are using this container as a way to gather people, it's my point of view that it's extremely important that you're clear on your integrity and your willingness to be strong in that container. And I have a notion that most people who are leading circles mean well, but sometimes they miss specific signposts or markers that their offering has shifted from being a service to being something that is a power. So it'll be a really important component of this program, this teleseminar, to discuss how we can be really honest with our own personal journey. And just to be honest with the work that we're doing in our own lives, to be in better connection with spirit on our own terms and in our community. And just one little piece, my own process. In my case, I started holding circles in my community right when my marriage was ending. And we, like through the whole process, like our decision to separate within the home and then the decision to separate outside of the home and then moving now at this present time into legal divorce. And so I never tried to hide that from my circle. I never tried to posture as some evolved, perfect being, because I have my life still happening. And I think that's the piece, I really believe that that's the piece that most people miss, is that you don't have to be perfect. And in fact, if you are pretending to be perfect, then you're detracting from the authenticity of your medicine. And so just stepping into your true, authentic self and saying, here I am perfect as I am. I know each one of you has your story too, and we're here just in the betterment of our community and our hearts and our souls and our lives and in this world all over. And so I know a lot of women really appreciated that honesty and could relate to my journey, and actually in that group they supported me just by sometimes even just coming over and bringing my kids like a chocolate or, it was actually really humbling, and it enhanced my trust in the community that I was facilitating the circle for, and that I could also be the receiver of that kind of love. So, yeah, that's I guess what I want to say about my point of view on holding circle and learning about how to hold circle in a good way. And so just briefly, I'll go here, and then I'm going to go through each week briefly what we will be doing, and then I'm going to open up the floor. And again, if you have any questions about anything, just press 1, and I'll answer as best I can. So in the first week of our 6-week series, we're going to go through that whole thing about who am I to hold a circle. Who am I to bring together people in community? Who am I to do? And I think we've talked about this on this call, but we're really going to go through the process about that Marianne Williamson's awesome quote, like, who are you not to? And really getting to the heart of what your clear intention is and who you are and your unique offering to bring love and light into your community and the willingness to hold a container in your community. And just who you are will be buoyed by your own understanding of what you have been through. What unique perspective do you offer, and what what qualifies anybody to lead Circle, looking into the history of Circle, and some circles actually share the leadership from week to week, have different leaders. And so just really noticing that there are, like, you can see yourself reflected in a lot of Circle leaders, and how can you come to that place of feeling worthy. And then the second week, I'm just turning my page here, we will be getting clear on what you're offering. So what are your special gifts? And this is my this is one of my pet topics, because I love to take people from the story that their history is, or their herstory is, of their life, and move the perception from being that's a burden that you need to take off, to the idea that your story is actually the gift, the beauty in you is reflected in your story, that everything you've gone through to get here right now in this conversation, on this call, is incredibly important and should not be set down and put away, but actually examined and looked and discovered. And so I just really feel that when we can get to the heart of who we are, and the fact that you had this experience at the age of 5 makes you the perfect person to talk to this person over here who hasn't yet seen that they are beautiful, even as well as having had a similar experience at the age of 5. So we really do need to shift our perception that we have to put down our story and walk away from it, but actually open it up and look at it and see where the gifts lay in it. And so week 2 is all about figuring out our special gifts. Flipping to pick. So week 3, so we've gotten you to a place where you've figured out, who am I to hold Circle? Well, I am. Who am I not to hold Circle? And then we go through the part of, what are my special gifts that I would like to offer into Circle? And now week 3 is, now that you've said yes to leading a Circle, now what do you do? And now you've got to get into the nitty-gritty, like, what will I do with people in my Circle? How will I keep it safe? What will we talk about? How will I keep people engaged and interested? What will be my rules? What will be my protocols? What will be the timing? How many days a week or how many days a month will we do this? And just really getting into the practical piece of, like, putting it together in a way that makes sense and that's easy, and coming from my teacher perspective, having good plans just takes the weight off in a big way, and just, all the practical things that your Circle will actually be. And then week 4 will be all about marketing. And this is, I have a lot of favorite topics. This is one of my number one favorites. I love marketing. And I love marketing in a way that's energetic, because I can feel when something's reaching out into the world and finding those who it would best serve. And that just gives me such an amazing feeling, because I feel like marketing is all about, like, finding pathways to those who you match with. And I'm really not a big believer in the broadcasting of something that 99% of the people that you're broadcasting to won't get it or be interested in it. I'm really all about finding the perfect pathways to those who are craving what you're offering. And so I've done tons and years of research and even gone all the way down to Florida and done, like, seminars on marketing, and I love this piece. And a lot of people find this piece really overwhelming, so I'm going to make it really easy, just step by step, giving you ways how you can reach people who are interested in what you're interested in, with like under $10 you could reach 10,000 people. It's just amazing what there is in marketing now. Things have changed drastically from, even 15 years ago to now. So lots and lots to learn about there. And then in week 5, we'll talk about, what if there's conflict or sabotage in your Circle? So this module is called Shaky Ground. And this is a very critical module, because we don't expect people to do that. I mean, it's always really shocking to me when someone sort of got an intention to pull something apart that I'm putting together, but it does happen. And I mean, that's for their reasons, and I don't know if we need to even know what all the reasons are. We just need to know how we're going to have our container be a place where we can notice right away if there's something off about it, and then know exactly what we're going to do about it, and help people who, if they're genuinely clueless that they're doing any sabotaging, like help them to see what's happening there. Or if there's somebody who just has another reason for creating conflict, then maybe what will be your process for taking care of that? And I do resource some people that I've used for even some one-on-one healing that can happen for people in your circle if somebody does happen to incur some kind of wounding or injury or traumatic experience from that type of conflict. I give you some really good tools for how to really just meet that person's need for witnessing and healing in the moment so that it doesn't grow and become bigger. And the final week is super beautiful because we're talking about the ripple effect. So how we're going to take our circle and ripple it out into the world, which is what we're doing right now, even just talking, taking this is my ripple effect, like how I'm going to be an agent of, you know, facilitating circles or helping people facilitate circles all over the world. Like that's my big vision. So here we are. How do we create that sustainability? How do we create community? How do we create networks within our own circle so that people will go out into the world and continue to use that medicine in their own families and their own communities? And so this piece might feel like, oh, I don't really need to know that, but you kind of do if you want to have a circle that lasts, because there can be that fizzling out effect, or that I've noticed that when my circle gets kind of small, people, the familiarity seems to get people a little bit comfortable in that they are no longer doing the work that they committed to, which is internal work, and now it started to be that side coaching or that lateral coaching that I really discourage in an introspective container. So we want to have a growing, changing, moving with the times, moving the energy, keep it going kind of a container, so that in 5 years you're not still putting it together at step one, like, oh, where are all the people? In 5 years you're going to know, well, the people are here because we have a Tuesday circle, we have a Friday circle, or whatever. You just have that sustainable piece. So, so we want this to be a community movement that your community feels the effects of. I know for sure that my little farming oil community feels the effects of our circle, and I'm super stoked about what you will reflect back, you know, after, if you do decide to sign up for our circle teleseminar. I'd love to know what changes it makes in your community too. And finally, just to want to share a couple of shares from people that have been in my circle. I'm just going to read a couple of just reflections back for what circle has offered the women in my community. And the two women that I'm going to read their I guess testimonials are two women who they inspired me to create Ancient Sacred Formation, because they were asking me, how do I do what you're doing? How can I create this in my world? And so I want to share what they were feeling after working with me first in our circle, and then after we worked together for them to create their own circles. And so the first sister here, she says, the sisterhood and love I have experienced in the Women's Wisdom Circle has been profound in helping me to create the foundation for which I move, create, and offer in the world. I was able to find my voice and embrace my light. All these things have helped me to be a light for others and to discover their own light. For this, I am truly grateful. And then the second sister I'll share, from the very beginning of our circle, I felt completely accepted, valued, and honored for exactly how I showed up, exactly as me. Throughout my journey, this has never changed and has given me hope that there is a place where one can be completely accepted all the time. I've been able to move through and process things that I still carried with me that I no longer needed. As a woman, a mom, a healer who needed support, guidance, and that push to acknowledge that I was ready to move on in my career, Circle has often reiterated that we are all alike, we are all equal, and has continually made me feel comfortable in presence. So those are two sisters that I still share circle with and who will be participating in this program that they actually inspired, and I hope that they will hear this call at some point. I'll probably send it to them. So I'd like to open up the floor for questions, and if you have a question, a burning question, press 1, and okay. Trisha Louise, you have a question. Hi.
I've been waiting for the right time to do the trailer. Go with it.
Yeah.
Hi, Trisha. You're unmuted.
Is that
Trisha?
Is that me? Me?
It's you.
No. Oh, you know, I didn't even push one. I must have pocket dialed that because I'm walking through a hardware store listening to this call. And I don't have a burning question at this point, but I do I was hoping to hear like other questions that might spark something for me, but I'm just enthralled with all of it at this point.
Wonderful.
So yeah.
Thank you for being on the call and shopping. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I'm just following him as he's loading flooring.
Okay, we'll mute you, but if you do have another question, feel free to press 1.
Okay, thank you. Love you.
You're welcome. I love you too. Okay. Okay, Natasha. We're going to unmute Natasha. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. I'm just curious if the teleseminar course will basically take this format like we've had the call today, where you will talk and lecture for a good part of the hour, or it's going to be an hour and a half, and then we have a chance to ask questions. Is that going to be the format?
Thank you. That's a really great question. So the plan is to have the format being a little bit different from this, because we can have the lecture part will probably come first. Before you get on the call, I'll be sending out like that first module's reading. Like I'll just be giving you some little things, not a great big long reading, but just a framework for what we'll be doing that week. And then just getting you to contemplate some questions, and then we'll get the technology allows us to put you in groups and actually discuss within yourself, like within a group, some of the questions that or the things that we were asking you to contemplate for that week. So it'll be partly this, but also a lot more interaction.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Does that answer your call? Or answer your question, sorry?
Yes. Well, my other question is, will there be homework, quote unquote? So clearly there'll be prep work before, probably after, right?
Yeah,
personal
it'll just be,
work.
I mean, it'll be personal work, absolutely. Yep, I wanna give you as much as, because some people are more like the auditory learner, and then some of us really like to write, and so I'm just going to offer it in a way that however you learn best, that option will be present for you in the prep work.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you. Denise? We have Denise on the call. Yay, hi. Hi, Denise.
Hi, hello. While you're reading my thoughts, I was just about to press 1. Not a question. I guess I'm a little bit more advanced because, being Native American and a public health nurse and an RN, I've been using traditional Native American talking circles in meetings when I've worked in tribal programs, and that's how we've conducted meetings, and we don't really use problem solving, but we just allow the process to do the work for us, and it really works. And I'm involved in, these are just comments, I guess, they're not really questions, and I just want to confirm that this is so powerful because it has nothing to do with anybody's agenda. It's not about the individual. It's about giving power to the process and the universe, and that it truly does work. And it's just amazing. I am a Unitarian Universalist. I'm privileged to be part of a process where my lead minister in California here at the Mount Dabble Unitarian Universalist Fellowship, and I'm going to say her name. She won't be shy. She won't be offended. But listen, Takahashi uses community circles in that format, and this is what we do. It's very confidential. It's very sacred and holy, and this is what we do. We start every community circle, regardless of which circle it's for, whether it be for the two-spirited, transgender, if it be multicultural, if it be for parents, if it be for men, if it be for women, if it be for whatever, for grief group, we start with a prayer, and we start with a topic, and we honor each individual person who has a voice, and it's very sacred, and it's very honorable. Every voice is honored, and it is incredibly powerful. And what we do in this particular community is having an impact across not only the Bay Area and Northern California, but across the divide. And the work that we also do with racial and social justice is being felt in ripples across the nation right now. And I'm just so very proud to be a part of it. And not just within the fellowship, but I've also used that format in other communities, and I guess I'm a little bit ahead of the curve. And I myself am going on to become a minister, an ordained minister, and will use that format if my health holds out. So I just want to give honor to you and what you're doing, and it is so very empowering, not only for the individual, but for the planet, and this is what the planet needs. It is a softening of the edges, and it is bringing honor back to the circle of life, the circle of the planet and the universe. So thank you, Mendel Matakuyasha. Washte.
Oh, thank you so much, Denise. I'm just covered in shivers. I'm so amazed at all of your share, and I just want to honor you. Thank you so much for bringing that into your world and into nursing and into those, you know, I don't know if I want to call them agencies, but in those ways that, in those places where maybe it's the most needed. Our nursing community, our healthcare community is just needing so badly this medicine. I love that. And really, I just have one question for you, just out of my own curiosity. Are you doing your ministry in the Unitarian Church, or is that what you're doing your ministry in?
If I have time, I'm going to start through the Chaplaincy Institute. I may not have that much time in my life. I was offered a full PhD, full ride scholarship, but I may not be able to. I suffer from multiple system atrophy. I could have anywhere between 2 years and 10 years of life left. So I'm going to do whatever my body will allow. And I'm also a Reiki practitioner, Reiki level 2, and aromatherapist. And I do healing touch and therapeutic touch that I've incorporated into my nursing practice. So I've been doing that for 17 years, but this diagnosis came totally out of the blue. And I've been healthy my entire life, and now my brainstem and autonomic nervous systems are failing me. So I'm going to try, if I can do it, through the Chaplaincy Institute, which is actually part of the arm of Star King School for the UU Ministry in Berkeley, and I'm going to try that because it's distance learning, and see if I can do that as much as I can, as much as my body will allow me. and because I'm early in the diagnosis and I have a brilliant physician who diagnosed me early, we'll see. And I do a lot of deep meditative work for my own body and my autonomic nervous system, my brainstem can't do. I'm trying to see what I can do consciously and what I can do for myself. And, you know, we'll see what happens.
I
succeed very early, so we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Thank you for sharing all of that. And I just want to, in our sacred circle tonight, I want to lift you up, Denise, for amazing healing hands to touch you and heal you and bring you the most swift and gentle healing possible.
Thank you. I can feel it already. I get a lot of feedback for being positive myself, and I've never been negative about anyone I've cared for, including healing the dying and hospice work. And so, you know, I will live until I don't. And this is not something that I take lightly. It's all a learning process until it isn't. So, you know, it's all evolution, whether it's individual or on a planetary level. So in my Muscogee Creek language, Mados to Zadi Mado.
Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we only have a few more minutes. Should we, if anybody else has a question? I think we might need to mute. Oh, we have Candace here. Okay, Candace, welcome to the call.
I made a comment when I signed up that I'm recently retired and feel as though my whole life really has been preparing me for this work. I also am a survivor of domestic violence, and I used to work for a DV agency, an emergency shelter, and helping families get into housing after they left the shelter and so forth. And one of my joys in that work was conducting groups for women who needed to just talk about whatever. All of these women were also struggling with addiction and so forth. And it was obvious that there were things happening that were way beyond anything that I was doing, that I was just holding the space, and that they just created amazing things. And I have a question. It's just, I'm sure you cover it when you get to session five, but one question I have is, so if there's someone who is sabotaging and so forth, how do I go about discerning whether it's true sabotage or they're just triggering my issues?
Perfect. Thank you. Yes, I thank you for sharing about your experience also, Candace, and I'm super glad that you signed up for this call tonight. And I will definitely go into more of that in the program, but just briefly, what I would always suggest is a very first thing is to have a one-on-one conversation, just being completely honest about what you're observing and owning that it could be something that you're feeling triggered by, and just allowing for that communication to happen where the person has an opportunity to, they may or may not own a part or any of it, but just allowing yourself to have that honest discussion can often be really revealing for both parties. So the one thing that throughout my years of teaching, I always said, you know, I always praise in public and correct in private. And so that would be a piece that would come in there too, just that one-on-one conversation and you know, just it would be, it's an opportunity for growth within your circle.
Well, thank you.
Does that make sense?
Your wisdom comes through even over phone. Even in a virtual environment, your wisdom is clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Candace, and bless you, and hopefully we'll see you on our program. And I think we have time for one more quick question. It might be Patricia. I'm not sure if she actually Did Patricia want to ask a question? Okay. Okay, well, I think that wraps up our Q&A part, unless anyone has a really brief question. We have probably one more minute to answer. You can just press 1 if you do have one. Okay. So I just thank you all for being on the call and for listening after the call, if that's what you're doing. And I just really want to thank you for the honor of sharing this offering with you. And if you feel called to and this feels like a fit for you, you can, you'll be receiving an email in the morning with this recording with a link to register for Ancient Sacred Formation. It's a 6-week program starting on September 15th. And if you can't make every call, you get to go on your own time and listen to an emailed recording to you. Oh, Angelina has one quick question. I'm going to get Angelina to just ask her question quickly. Angelina?
Yeah?
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you for offering the sacred medicine to the community.
Aw. I love you. Thank you.
I love you, too. Thank you
so much. I miss your voice.
I miss you, too, honey. I will definitely look forward to sharing your 6 weeks with you. And thank you again. This is wonderful and perfect synchronicity.
You are so welcome, and I'm honored that you'll join us, Angelina.
I'm pretty. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, so yay. I'm hoping that everybody feels... Hi.
Hey, Wei, it's Wendy. I just wanted to say one quick thing before we get off the call.
Sure.
So first of all, I just want to say thank you so much. The way that you have shared about your circles, I feel really, it's like, yeah, I want to get on the call. So I appreciate your enthusiasm, your wisdom, and just all the work that you've done to get here to be able to offer this. And I also just want to encourage everybody on the phone, you know, going through some of these Wisdom Bridge teleseminars are really fun if you go through it with a friend, because then you guys can work together and brainstorm together and maybe set intentions together. So I really just want to encourage everybody, if you think of somebody that may benefit from the teleseminar, that you go ahead and forward the link to this call to them, and maybe you can, you know, do a little buddy system and have a really good time going through the 6 weeks. So that's what I wanted to say. Aho.
I love that. Thank you, Wendy. Aho. I love that idea and that expanding of our network of love and compassion into our communities. Thank you for lifting that up. And I'm also available for anybody who has more questions or would like a private consultation before you feel like you can make a decision about joining us for this teleseminar. And you'll get the connecting way to me in your email. We can do a Skype call or a phone call or an email. I'm open to communicating with each and every one of you. And I just send my love to each and every one of you and your families and your communities. And thank you so much for being on this call.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you, Wei.
Thank you, Wendy. Thank you, everyone.
Good night.
Aho. Night, night. Night.